CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to the fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Bayes. Joining me today in studio, Pat Anderer.
Hello.
How's it going, sir?
It's delightful. I'm in Austin, Texas.
It's sort of funny, and I realize like I sound weird because I'm finally getting over the throes of a cold, I think, that I developed last Friday. And enough so that we didn't end recording Jump Point this week because of it. Because I was sick. And I felt sick. I was well enough to go to work, which is the weirdest thing of like, yeah, I go to work and not calling sick. And you really don't, you know, it's hard to call in sick when you pull a night shift off. But I was sick enough that I'm like, I didn't want to get anyone else sick. Like, I'm right now, like, I sound worse than I feel. I feel pretty good. I just, I'm still congested, still all that kind of crap. But it's good to have you in town, man.
Yes, it's
finally after so long
after a failed attempt and several visits. Yes,
after many missions. Well, this is okay. So you don't have to go into the story because I can
give the 10-foot view of how much of an idiot
I
am.
I ultimately don't like putting a lot of people when certain things work or certain things don't work on blast because ultimately that's not the reason for it.
You did it the first day I was here. You got it out of your system.
Yeah, no, of course. Well, I had to because it was such a – you know, because it was funny that you had basically mentioned on Twitter, yeah, I'm going to Austin. I go, oh, cool. Okay. And kind of forgot about it. Literally forgot about it. Not even a like, oh, cool, he's going to be in town. It's more like, hey, oh, okay. Well, whatever. Not in a bad way. Just more of a – so many other things were going around.
Yeah.
Like right now
– and I visited several times.
Because like right now – This is where we're at, where I'm at right now in my workflow of things. When I was at work, I checked if Moo was still doing their South by deal, and they are, and Sing was shipping. And the minute I got home, I counted how many business cards I had. I mean, personal business cards. I have a ton of show cards still left mm-hmm. over. But I made sure to check, do I have enough personal cards? Do I need more? If I order more to get, like, it became this, like, weird thing of, like, I know I'm going to get 20% off. Should I just stock up now while I still can and get them hand-delivered? Because that's what goes through my mind is silly things like that. Because, like, when we're done with the show, like, I have at least 4 emails to fire off and to get stuff. And there's even people that are coming into town that I may get to interview and may not get to interview depending on stuff. But there's a lot of, this is going to be the weird South by for me because I have to actually work a day during it. But it's not really an important day, to be honest, and nothing really critical is going on. But it's already like I'm but a week out and I'm already like I gotta follow up on so much stuff. So like my brain when you mentioned that, I was like thinking of other things of like podcasting and all this other stuff, and I didn't factor in the idea of like, oh shit, he's actually going to finally do this. He's actually going to finally move to Austin, you know, because it didn't even come into my mind. It was just like okay, well, that's always been the thing he's been saying. He's going to come to Austin. Cool, whenever he comes, he comes. And then you came down, and you like I forgot how – you had said you were in town. I was like, oh, shit, you're actually in town. And, mm-hmm. and we ended up meeting up and
barbecue was consumed.
Right.
You know, as is tradition.
And, we talked about things and all that stuff. And it was just like this, like, okay, well, he did it. And then it came to, like, you know, you and your roommate finding an apartment. And then I get a call saying, hey, can we use your name as a recommendation for here? I go, sure. And then I get a discount on my rent mm-hmm. In next month. And it was like, oh, well, that all happened and such. How has been moving cross country been for you? Because, again, I know you had you did it once.
I tried and I failed.
You did
Let's not call it I didn't.
Well, you'll say that you did a simulacrum. In other words, you drove all the way here. you drove all the way
great
back.
Great road trip. Great road trip. Right. If nothing else.
You did a simulacrum. You know, you did a test run if you know. We'll call it, we'll be generous and call it a test run. And test run failed. And that's fair. You know, test runs tend, you know, you learn all the kinks. You figure out what your issues are and you figure them out. And all those are resolved now, which is why this is a bit more successful run, because you've figured out where.
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
If nothing else, I learned a lot about what it takes to.
Yeah.
Try to pack up your whole life into a couple of square feet in a car.
Well, because that's the hardest part. Really,
and migrate.
You know, the hardest part about you moving isn't that, like, for me moving to Austin, it was I'm moving 3 hours north from the town I live in, which was, you know.
If you left something at home, you could go back for it the next weekend.
Right. Or you know, I could still visit my parents and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certain advantages to that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you know, you're moving from, you know, the Midwest all the way down to here.
You call Pennsylvania the Midwest.
I
you and Brett, everyone, like, people think the Midwest starts at Philadelphia and goes over.
Well, because ultimately, the Midwest to me is one of those things that I don't quite understand.
Midwest doesn't start until Ohio, as far
as I'm
concerned.
Well, the thing is, I don't understand why it's, like, and this is a guy that lived in the Midwest of Michigan and whatnot.
See, you lived in the Midwest.
Right,
that's the Midwest.
Right, I get that. This is me saying I don't understand why it's called. I understand why historically it was called the Midwest, because at one point in time, you know, the boundaries
because the reality is, like, on if you drew a map, it's kind of mid-east.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even like, you know, as the territory, you know, as the territories began, for sure, you know, it was the Midwest because the territories only went so far, and then it became Mexico. But now, you know, thanks to what was it called? I forgot what the term is. Manifest destiny.
Yes.
And the idea of, like, everything is ours here in America on this silly little thing. The Midwest is no longer mid nor west in any capacity.
Yes.
And so, you know, I say Midwest in terms of, like for me, if you have a very, very strong accent of any kind, you're probably not in the Midwest. And I say that with this knowledge, is that they will actually, and this is true, they will actually send reporters before they go to national broadcast of any capacity. They'll actually send them to, like, the Midwest to lose their accent.
Because it's generic enough. Because
it's generic enough.
Yeah.
Like, I have a Midwest accent. Everyone else has one. And when I meet people, like, in Texas that have it, it's always strange. Because, like, my friend Mario has a very Midwesty sound. It's certain things you start to learn in. I learned a lot of this in linguistics, actually, and such, when it came to that in college, that there's certain areas that, depending on who migrated wherever, like my cousins have very, you know, some of my cousins have very strong southern accents in San Antonio, but in Laredo, it just because a lot of people from a lot of places came, a lot of people lost that accent, because I would go there and talk to friends of mine, and they go, like, oh, you don't sound like you're from Texas at all, but if you go to, like, say, Dallas or even, you know, a little more north, you kind of have that there. So yeah, but regardless of that, you're still moving from a state in the upper quadrant,
yes,
if you will,
yes,
to a very, you know, almost, you know, the most southern state,
1800 plus miles,
right? The most southern state in the continent of the U.S. There's, you know, if we count territories in Hawaii, it might be more, you know, southern latitude, but within the continental U.S., you are going down to, you know, very close to the edges you can.
Yeah,
I'm actually very excited for you to, like, have to go to like the valley and whatnot, not only knowing what your job is, because I don't think you've yet to experience having to say to a person, "Yes, I'm a U.S. citizen," as you're driving through a checkpoint.
Oh, eventually I will have to experience that. I'm guessing
it's easy. It's not
the,
painful.
The southest I've been so far is San Antonio, which is
it's not
that south.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, because it's that and the drive, because you know there's really nothing between here and anything else. But
I want to let you know there's very little between here and Pennsylvania when you're really driving.
It's
mostly nothingness.
What was the state that gave you the most trouble to drive through?
I will say, because it was actually a fairly uneventful drive, but I had a combination of rain, darkness, and rush hour right around Joliet, Illinois.
Right.
Which, you know, is, you know, Chicago burbs. And that was troublesome, just because I was at that point, you know, I was going to do 800 miles that day, and I was 600 in.
Right.
And like, for me, I can go I can go 400 or 500 miles without blinking. That is easy. I can do that on no sleep. I can just get up and do it.
Right.
After 400 or 500, you start to get into, you've been on the road all day and it's a little tiring. Yeah. And there's only so much caffeine can do for you.
What's the weirdest? Okay. And we'll get back to talking about more, because I have so many more travel questions. But I'm the thing that always fascinates me the most about when you have long road trips, and I did this in my head when we moved to Laredo the first time go around, back in, you know, I was getting out of high school, going to college, and you know, my parents and we all moved down there. I would always sort of stare at the local area of stuff, because typically when you're, you know, you don't notice this at all when you're driving in your own town, but only because it doesn't make sense to you. But it's always fun to just stare at billboards. And to see, you know, all the local things that get advertised, you know, and sort of study that and kind of learn things. That the other fun thing I tend to like to do on giant road trips, if I can, is listen to some random radio station in the area.
You're braver than I.
It's so much fun.
I don't listen to radio almost at all.
No, I don't either. I don't in real, you know, when I'm here in Austin, I don't. And when I'm anywhere else that I know, I don't either. But hearing it, like, when you're in, like, some random town, and not like Bob FM, because, like, Bob FM is, like, a satellite dish, and, you know.
Yeah.
Like a local radio station.
If those still, I mean.
If they still exist.
They barely exist.
Right.
Like, you get them in cities. Cities will have a radio station.
Because, like, the fun.
But if you live in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, no.
All you have is two local guys who record the interstitials,
yeah,
and then whatever Clear Channel wants you to hear.
Right, exactly.
Pretty much exclusively.
Right, but like that's always fun to do. The other fun thing to do, and this is something that I've started doing on an international level because of freaking software like TuneIn and whatnot.
TuneIn and iHeartRadio and everything.
Right, well, specifically TuneIn because it gets some
you get some weird stuff on there. I use TuneIn exclusively for listening to endurance races at work.
Well, the fun thing to do
– or soccer
and this is a great experiment that we all can participate in and we all can do together because TuneIn's free and everything else. The fun thing you can do in life is listen to other areas' morning shows. Those are because you start to learn the pattern that is a morning show of radio.
Oh yeah, my mom listens to a radio station in Alaska's morning show, just so she feels warmer.
Yeah,
because like, except I guess Alaska's been very balmy this year.
Says, like telephone talk in the UP, in Michigan. It's Radio's Craigslist. Oh no, there's one of my all-time favorite comedian things is very much a Michigan thing. It's the Diupers.
Youper?
The Diupers.
Diuper?
And there's a sketch that they did where I think it's Town Talk, and it's like a very like short thing, but essentially the idea of like, you know, do you have something to buy, sell, or trade over the radio, which is great.
Yup.
But no, listening to the morning shows of other regions is so fascinating to me. It's one of those things that I adore because you start to learn, you know, what things matter to, you know, the area you're driving through. Because ultimately, you know, as a traveler, you kind of pass through a lot of things. Like, you know, for the longest time, I had never been to Dallas proper.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd always fly through Dallas because, you know, I'd fly American Airlines. And even though I was in Michigan, by the way,
mm-hmm,
we'd always fly to Dallas and then Dallas to, you know.
Yeah, it's a big hub.
Dallas was this, like, you know, for the longest time, this, like, location I'd fly to every time, but never, ever spent time in Dallas. I didn't spend time in Dallas until my brother moved there, which makes Dallas kind of, you know, there's some interesting things about Dallas.
I have yet to go to Dallas. I've been to all the other cities in Texas.
There are interesting
now,
things in Dallas that I tend to dig. There's some things I don't dig per se, but you know, I had never for up until about maybe only recent, only yeah, up until about I'll say like 2 or 3 years ago, I had never been to like Dallas and stayed in Dallas and enjoyed Dallas as it was. I'd always be fly to Dallas. And then fly elsewhere. Like, Dallas was this place that was like, all I know is DFW. I don't know anything beyond
that. That's me in Detroit. I've been to the Detroit airport 8-10 times. I have not stepped outside of it.
Well, even, you know, because, like, you know, because the funny thing is, like, I had flown to, like, Chicago. And I stayed in Chicago. I was like, I know Chicago. But, I know beyond the confines of O'Hare. But Dallas was that weird thing of just going to this town. and never experiencing. So whenever I do a road trip, if I can, I do like to figure out what the hell town am I driving through, and what is the weird shit that's going to get advertised on the radio? Because again, if you think of, you know, radio is very much, you know,
it's as hyper-local as it's a microcosm right. of a local.
It's as hyper-local as you can truly get now. I mean, especially within audio, it's hyper-local because it's yes, there's certain satellite feeds. Yes, there'll be the, you know, if it's a satellite broadcast show, whatever, who cares? But it's as hyper-local as you can. The other fun thing to do, and I rarely do this because I rarely flip the, you know, the dial. The other fun thing to do is scan the AM radio waves because you just get stuff.
It's just ESPN radio, Fox radio, and crazy.
That is
the all.
Best.
And
the best.
Either of those in any given moment of the day may in fact be crazy as well.
There's so many fun things, especially again. Only if you're in certain regions of the country.
Oh, where I was from, that was AM radio. Was ESPN, like Fox News Radio, basically it's actually called Fox News Radio now,
right.
The conservative radio that had, you know, Glenn Beck on it and stuff, and then crazy, yeah.
But that's the fun part. The fun part is doing those weird things. Because after a certain – this is what I imagine happened to you just because, you know, you're traveling – you know, you're not – if you have somebody with you, it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
And not because, oh, you can pass off driving and stuff. It's not even that. It's just easier because you have someone to just sort of talk to. Because what happens after a certain point, by about hour two into your, you know, however many day, you know, day-long journey you have – you start to lose your goddamn mind.
See, I hit that at about 5 or 6 hours.
That's still
4 or 5 hours. I'm happy. I enjoy that. I'm like, do I got like 2-3 podcasts queued up? I'm perfect.
See,
after hour 3 or 4 where I start to get a little loopy.
Right. It's just it becomes a sort of thing. Like for me, it's because typically like the drive I make back home is about 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's nothing between, like, basically what happens is, and this is, and by the way, if you're in Austin, Texas, this happens the exact same way, whether you're going to Dallas or whether you're going to Laredo, you're always going off I-35. I-35 has this weird, weird thing on both ends of the spectrum is that once you pass like a certain last town, there's nothing between there.
Mm-hmm.
If you pass, and the same thing happens if you're also going to Houston, I've learned.
I drove to Houston right. about a week
ago. I only learned
week,
that because
like,
that way is also to Corpus Christi in the Valley.
Empty.
Not. Oh, yeah. No,
it's basically you leave Austin, you get to Elgin, where all the apparently good barbecue is, and then there's nothing for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Until you get to Houston, which is geographically enormous.
Yeah. Same thing.
And you drive in Houston for an hour before you actually get to Houston.
I mean, same thing happens when you're going to Laredo. You basically pass San Antonio. There's nothing for the most part. Same thing when you go to Dallas. I think you pass like Waco and there's nothing after that.
Mm-hmm.
Even going to Corpus Christi in the Valley, it's the same kind of concept because you're essentially going down these same corridors that exist that have nothing. And so for me, what happens is, you know, I get past San Antonio and I lose my goddamn mind, not because it's this long drive. I don't really mind the long drive so much. It's that it's straight and nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I just did something, anything. And then you start hitting, because the thing is, what happens is you start hitting that point of just like, I can't stand this song. And it's not even like, you're like, oh, it's the same song you're hearing. It's like, no, I have it on Pandora. I have it on Station One. I just can't stand this. I need something different. And it just you lose your goddamn mind. And that's why whenever I do long road trips, that's where the radio comes in. Not because I'm
to
like,
break up the monotony.
It's just to have some, you know, something crazy. So, like, even if it's just like, what the fuck is this man talking about? Like, I would rather have, like, I flip on the FM dial and someone's saying, UFOs are landing on Mars and invading our world. Like, that would be amazing.
That would actually be pretty amazing.
That would be a story.
I mean, technically, I think that actually happened, but it wasn't the radio. I was listening to an audiobook on the way down because audiobooks and driving are, like, it's a really happy place, especially, like not having my fun car anymore, where if you're bored, you just throw it down into fourth past 10 people.
Right.
And then feel better about yourself. Like having slow car now, like it's all about like, I had audiobooks on the entire way.
Maybe that's what it is that because, you know, maybe because I'm doing the, you know, the long haul in the Prius. Maybe that's where the difference is. Because again, it just
plug your Audible account in.
I do typically listen to Bluetooth audiobooks and everything else. But it's just like after a certain point, and I do that same thing too. It's just after a certain point, I'm just like you know, again, for me, because having the second person with you at least when you're going on long road trips, you can tell a story, you can have a conversation, mm-hmm. you can do whatever. Somebody can ask you a question, come and say, yeah, because you're alone. What happens is that because you're alone and because you know how much farther you need to go.
Oh, yeah. GPS just staring at you.
Well, because you know that telling data, you. Because you know that data in front of you. You don't get into the mindset of like, you know what, I need to take a break. You know what, I need to do this. You just keep on going. Mm-hmm. And you keep on going and you're like, oh, fuel needs to be refueled. Okay, that I need to do. You know, unless you know the trip too well, like you may have a paranoia like me where you try to keep your tank at half full because, you know, you're so used to having times when there's no gas station yep. around.
Like what I did the whole way across was basically the way when you're doing a really long trip, your first run, I'm leaving to your first stop, you got to make as long as you can.
Right.
You run the fuel tank as far as you physically can down because that's going to be the most you're going to get in a jump at once if you're soloing.
Right.
After that, I pretty much stopped every 200-ish miles, which is about 3+ hours of driving, which is about the time your body says, I have to pee.
Yeah.
And you know,
see, for me,
I need a snack. And because you get gas, you stand up, you walk around for a minute, you take five, and then get back to it.
Like I am such a person that like I will, you know, there's a joke I say to myself, and we, you know, the last time, you know, one of the times we had a podcast conversation in the past, we had talked about this and what we would do for a self-driving car, and I'd explain my weird stance. You'd explain mm-hmm. your weird stance.
I've come around on it now that a self-driving car is genuinely available, more or less.
By the way, have you seen one yet in Austin? Because there's a couple already.
Oh,
here.
I did see a Google car.
Yeah, yeah.
Yesterday.
It oh, was, cool. Okay.
Or 2 days ago, yeah, I was driving
right near our area,
and I'm like, why is there a? I think it was a RAV4 hybrid or whatever, Lexus RX hybrid yep. with Google on it, but it wasn't a Google Earth car.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, okay, that's one of the Google self-driving cars. Cool.
Yeah, you start to learn them now.
So this is what my conclusion I have come to. They're not going to outlaw driving, or mm-hmm. at least I will be Will Smith with Chuck Taylors in a motorcycle while everyone's driving their Audi, you know, bubbles. If you've ever, what movie is that? Is that iRobot?
Probably
a terrible travesty.
No, not iRobot. That was it was iRobot.
It was iRobot. It wasn't very good. But basically, Will Smith is this guy who wants everything analog, and I will always be able to have
right
something old with a manual transmission that I can drive.
Like my dad. My dad basically. And you know, he
has a beautiful old Corvette that he can enjoy when he wants to.
Right.
But when he goes to work in the morning, he just wants to get to work.
Right. Well, because like he has the same mindset. So I mean, so long and he's right. You guys will still be able to drive your car maybe in certain special designated areas per se.
I don't think.
I don't know. You know, I'm saying like maybe like here's the
as
you
long
know,
as it's an option.
Yeah.
I see the appeal, and the way I look at it now, I've warmed to the idea that what it does is it makes all the people who don't care about driving
better drivers
than they were ever going to be any other way.
And that's sort
and,
of
and for me who just drove 1,800 miles, it would have been fun to just like even just with like the tech that's available now, like if I had a Tesla, for example, just to be able to like lean back for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And not think about it and like let your brain reset. It's way less draining.
That's what it was for me was this is just after a certain point, my brain just can't process any of this. And
yeah,
just like,
you get worn out and you just want.
But the problem is that
if you had two people, you would trade drivers at that point, but you don't. But now you do.
The problem is that this is where my brain goes. My brain doesn't go like, all right, I need to take a break and go with that. My brain goes, no, fuck it, power through this shit because I don't want to do this anymore. Somebody's going to fucking finish it now. And like, and because of that, I get in this mindset of like, I will drive to the craziness. Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know, I thankfully have yet to do a solo long road trip because I'm afraid that if I do it, it's going to be like, what time is it? oh shit, it's 2 a.m. I need to sleep somewhere. There's no hotel open here.
Yeah.
I'm not staying at the, you know, and I'll pass this guy. It's like, I ain't staying there.
Pro tips for that. Having done that.
Yeah. What
the
yeah,
game
what,
you play, this is the game I play. If you,
what was
if
your
you,
chain of motels that you trusted throughout the trip?
I in TripAdvisor, I trust.
Okay.
So this is what I did the first time I did this, and it worked out really well because I did it in more, I had more stops on the way just due right. to things, and I'm better at long distance now.
Right.
When you're hitting the edge, you stop at a gas station.
Okay.
You get gas because maybe you need it. When you're done, but you have a little bit left in the tank, like physically, like you could drive another hour. You pull up a map. You figure out what the next name of the biggest sounding town is.
Okay.
Because small town hotels
yeah.
are very rarely good. But if you can get a small city hotel, there's 3 or 4 there and at least one of them.
One of my greatest memories of driving when we moved was we had stopped in, and this is a big town, by the way. This is not a small town at all. Texarkana.
Oh, Texarkana.
I love Texarkana, actually. To be honest, I love Texarkana.
I need to spend some time there now that I can, because last time I blew through
Texarkana. Texarkana is a very strange place, but I remember at the time the hotel we were staying at, it was a chain hotel, had like a donation thing to fix the giant Catholic cross that they had lit by electric light, not like, you know. Mm-hmm. Not like lits and
because that those are two very
right,
different
exactly.
symbols.
Right, exactly. Why I explained it that way, because if I say it's a lit cross, like in Texarkana, your brain may go somewhere.
It could
like,
be one of two things.
Like,
one of which is societally acceptable.
Yeah, this is totally,
one of which is very bad.
Yeah, this is totally cool. This is very much a religious thing, yes, but it's you know, it's Texarkana. It's a goddamn Motel 6. What else are they going to fucking donate for?
Yeah.
Please. This is what they do. This is what makes their... this is all they have, and I'm going to let them have it. But it's one of those memories I have of just the idea of, like, there's a town. We're raising money for the Giant Cross. And, you know, but that's like a big town kind of thing. So, you know, but I have always... because, again, when you drive by the road, you start to notice things like motels and whatnot. You start to notice, like, the small
yep.
town ones, and it's just like... I wonder who still stays there.
Presumably who? People with
like I
no better choice.
Like, I'm not going to stay there personally, and I realize that any other driver probably isn't. I mean, is that like just like you go there and that's where you go for like the shady shit?
I would assume so.
What is the shadiest motel that you remotely thought of staying?
Oh no! I actually have a good.
Okay, go for it.
Less shade and more, I guess, just the things you stumble upon. So I was in high school.
Okay.
I was in academic decathlon because I'm a nerd, which is like, I don't know, there's a name for it in other things, but it's basically, you know, you went and took tests for fun. It was weird. Again, I'm a giant nerd.
Right.
So this was just far enough away from school that we had to spend a night in a hotel because it was a 2-day event. Which was fun because you get a bunch of, you know, teenagers from 20 different schools in an area all in a hotel. Good times will happen. I was ninth grade, I think this was. I think this was ninth grade or 10th or beginning of 10th. So we go. We meet these really cool kids from this school in northern Pennsylvania. And we hang out with them all weekend. And they're like, and we end up figuring out we're all in the same hotel. So we go over to their room. So the hotel we walked in, it was a hotel.
Right.
There were presumably no bed bugs and no roaches, but that's its redeeming qualities.
Okay.
Like, that's as good as it got, is the beds were mostly clean.
Okay.
Mostly. So we go to their room to hang out, and there's probably 10 or 12 of us in there. One of the people who we were with drops their, okay, to give you an idea of my age, drops their Discman behind the bed. And you know how a hotel bed is.
Yeah.
It's a box yeah. on the ground, like a box, and then a mattress and box spring on top of it. You can't see under it. You can't reach under it.
Correct.
You have to physically remove the mattress to get something from behind it. So we pull the mattress off.
Oh, God.
And in that box is the greatest kegger in history worth of empty beer and liquor bottles. And I'm, you know... 14 at this time, maybe.
Right.
Like, that is so far from, like, the things I was used to, because I was, you know.
Right.
So I was young and sheltered and a nerd.
So there's all these...
There is just... the remnants of what must have been
like something amazing,
an epic party.
Like something amazing happened here, and you're the
archaeologist that finds it.
That finds,
so,
like, the society was
so
here.
It's two beds, so we have to look. You have to know. Other bed, also completely full. just an astonishing number of remnants of partying. Just all the cheap beer bottles and cans you can imagine.
You have to imagine that.
Filling this box, which is probably 6 feet, like 6 or 8 feet wide by 6 or 8 feet long and a foot deep. Full. Two of them.
Here's the question I'm going to ask. It's a very, very good question, but it's a question nonetheless. Do you think that the patrons of the room...
Mm-hmm.
Put the bottles and things there? Or do you think the cleaning staff in the "I ain't gonna pick up this fucking shit mess" just swept it under the rug, so to speak?
Because
that's I mean, that's a valid, I mean, I don't want to besmirch the name of this fine hotel establishment that we haven't named at all.
I don't even remember what it was.
But you have to, you know, I have to go in my head of just like, if I, you know, if knowing the kind of people who probably left the,
sort of people who might work at a small town motel.
Right. But, you know, versus the kind of people who would leave that sort, you know, who would have the audacity.
Was all cheap booze.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Which says college kids or right. that age, or even somehow high school kids on
right.
prom night kind of thing. Although
like,
it was,
you have to be,
I don't think it was quite prom
season. You have to be a complete and utter asshole to just like, because again, you can imagine just some clean stuff. Yeah, I got to clean. What the fuck happened here?
Yeah.
And it's just,
oh,
you
yeah.
know. You know, so, you know, bottles.
My thought is how much, what's the level of effort difference? You usually have like one of those cleaning carts things between throwing it in a, you have to move the bed off of its frame, fill that up and move the bed back versus just throwing it.
Well, the question is, which is
in a bin.
Right. But the question goes, which is quicker and which is just like, I don't want to deal with.
I mean, they would have had to clean this out with shovels. Like, that's how much there was.
Now,
like, that's the only way to move that much in a timely fashion.
Well, because here's the next question. What's the next, you know, what if that is the remnants left, you know, either by cleaning staff or by, you know, silly college kids, which I don't understand why this. The only thing I can think of with the college kids is that they had it and their parents were coming, or like their high school kids and their parents are going to pick them up or some bullshit like that. It's like, oh, shit, we got to hide the evidence.
Yeah.
That's the only, you know, because there's no.
I would have like in retrospect. Yes, I would really like to know what went on that led to that being the solution.
Right. That's the point I'm trying to say. Like, where was the, this is the solution we need to do to fix the problem. I understand the problem. I understand the reason why. What I'm trying to figure out is, how did that become the solution? How is it that moving all of the remnants of this grand, you know, epic, you know, debauchery under the, you know, sweep it under the rug, so to speak. The only place where, you know, what person would even think of remotely, well, I wonder what's underneath the box mattress of my hotel room. You know, you mentioned like moving it, that kind of thing. I have never looked underneath that.
I had not ever considered that. I don't think I've looked under one since.
I've never looked under
it,
one.
It
period.
Just, the only reason we were there is because somebody had dropped
now
their Discman.
Now
you're 14 years old,
oh, yeah,
your Discman is your most prized possession,
you know,
unless it's your
you
Game
want
Boy
the
Color.
Equivalent of that, it's like dropping your iPhone. It's like dropping,
yeah.
It's dropping any piece.
It's dropping your iPhone. It's dropping that thing that gets you through your bus ride every morning.
Ultimately,
that makes it tolerable.
I'll make it simpler. It's dropping a very, very expensive piece of electronic.
They weren't even at that point. Like
well,
Discmans had gotten cheapish.
Well, I'm saying,
but if
still,
you were 14 years
right,
old, you didn't have a job.
That's what I'm saying. It's costly.
You couldn't go spend 50 or 60 bucks to buy
you
another
know,
one.
If you say costly, that means, you know, even for, yeah, you know, within relativeness, that could be a, you know, your game. Your,
could be your
3DS.
DS.
Right,
yeah.
It could be a 3DS.
Or 3DS or whatever they're on.
It could
these
be
days.
Whatever portal, you know, your Vita, you know, whatever.
People
thing.
Still have Vitas?
Yeah, yeah. Sure, totally. I have friends, you know, especially now with like remote play. A lot of people actually love the fact that they can play Destiny on their PlayStation Vita, which...
Why wouldn't... I mean, you have to be in the same room as your...
No, you can also do it, like, outside the network, too.
Oh.
Okay. I see. I see some level of appeal of being able to put time in on a game where when you're anywhere.
I think so. But
it's just connected to your account. I think so. Versus...
But yeah, no, there's a whole slew of stuff you can do with it. But I mean, it's not going to be a decent speed. But going back to the whole thing, like, again, now I want to look underneath those things.
I haven't since. I mean, I'm
scared, but I'm like, that seems like that seems like a story. Again, I just the idea of you like, well, let's look underneath this so I could get it. And then you find this like weird arc of like just treasure trove of like, what the fuck? And then you don't know what to do with it because you know, you're a 14-year-old kid. You're just like, I guess we got to look at the other.
I think we just have to hide this again so they don't think we did it.
Right, that's the question.
Because we're 14. We're not cool. We're not partiers.
Right, because you don't want to have to explain. Like,
we just don't. We don't want any questions.
Where the fuck did all these
boxes? We're at a school sponsored event. We don't want the teachers to know.
You don't want to have to like just the idea like. All right, where the fuck did all these bottles come from? That, like, the teachers go, well, funny story. So our friend lost her Discman underneath the bed, and lo, like...
Yeah, you don't want to explain that.
But you can't, because they're not going to believe
you. No one's going to... No, it's always your fault.
You know, maybe that's what the people that did the party, you know, had thought. It's like, look, we put this under the bed. If anyone else finds it, no one's ever going to believe their story about just finding a bottle of this. I mean, we could even make that joke up, too. I mean, look, if we get caught, they're going to think it's us anyways. Who gives a shit? But we'll leave it for the next person. The next person will have to deal with this shit.
Yeah.
I want to know this. I want to know the origin of that now. Not your version.
I've wondered it for many years. How those got there. And like part of me is like it's just close enough to Penn State that it may have been a really desperate college party another 30 miles up the road for some reason, but I don't know.
No, there's that's,
it seems
that's,
it seems like the wrong a, like why and it's it was in the middle of nowhere.
That's a that's not a college party, that's a high school party. If it's cheap booze, I mean, even in college, yes.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was just college, there was no
college. You tend to have a keg because you tend to have people, because within college there are people,
there's always someone over 21 who can go get a keg.
Right, exactly. There's always at least somebody who's like
take up a collection
throw, right. And then buy the keg. That's always that case, you know. Because typically it's a house party. Typically it's at some, you know. You don't go like let's party at the motel. It's like no, we're no. at least college. We have you know some standards. Maybe not a whole lot of standards, but some standards at least. But high school, let's say, all right, we got all this booze. We're gonna have a party at the Motel 6.
Yep,
that's how that went down.
Because what happens at high school house parties is. It always gets busted by the cops.
Yep.
Someone is always hiding on the roof from the cops, and that's the only successful place you can hide is on the roof.
Yeah. And
so pro tip, high school kids and underage drinkers, if you're at a house party and the cops show up and there's a way that you can end up on the roof, like it's one of those houses that has like the weird second floor gably windows and you can like crawl up to the top of the roof, that's where you want to go.
No, if the cops come, just you know, try to slip out the back quickly. No,
there's always a guy back there.
I know, I say the back meaning like well, I guess you're right.
There's always they don't knock on the door until someone's at the back door.
That's true.
Because they're just trying to all cops doing busting an underage party is trying to basically ruin the next 3 to 5 years of these kids' lives by putting an underage on their record.
Right.
And just like again, like alcohol laws are stupid. Well, and I understand if you don't like not everybody has to drink. But like if you're 18 years old and you can go to a whatever desert country we're bombing this week and die,
right,
should be able to get a beer.
We should preface it with drinking laws here in the States. Like it's always fun.
Laws in the States are old and mostly senseless.
Like it's so much
there's
fun.
There's no common sense.
One of the funnier things that had happened, I think, was like a Japan night. One of the acts I was playing was like basically a bunch of like 16, 17-year-olds. And it's always funny because – or they're 18-year-olds, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always funny because they wanted to drink because in Japan, like, the drinking age is, I guess, 18. I don't really know.
It's something reasonable?
It's somewhere there. I forget the age, to be honest. I'd have to ask a couple friends of mine. But regardless of that, it was funny because, you know, they'd want to drink. And, you know, there's no way they're going to get a drink here at Elysium. The only reason you're allowed in on this – the only reason you're allowed in this whole party right now is the fact that you're the actual act playing.
Yep.
Because they're the only guys I ever saw at any point in time in any history of being at Japan Night with a black X on their hand, and it's like because again it's you know, all South by events are 21 plus. And that's the first time I'd ever seen like a black exit. Like, the only reason that you're even allowed here is because you fucking performed.
Yeah.
You ain't never going to touch alcohol as long as you're here in the U.S. As long as you're here at South by in Austin.
Yeah. They take again, a, people that are old enough to literally go to the other side of the world and get paid to entertain people.
Yeah.
They're old enough to do that. Not old enough to have a beer.
Well, it's again, it's and I would only learn a lot of like my favorite story I know when it came to musicians was I mean I have a funnier story but it's related to that. I just don't want to tell the story because I've told it before many times. Is I'd learned I think it was the drummer for Comedy Christ we're kind of hanging out. No, it was a drummer at the time for KMFDM. That's what it was.
I've heard this one. Is this the one with your car?
Well, that's the funnier story. I've told that story before, but that, this is sort of because
you've told that on the podcast,
right?
With
right.
Me.
Just to refer to that episode. No, this is actually an in tandem story. We're hanging out at the party, and it's 2 a.m. It's last call, and you know, last call in Texas is 2 a.m. And he goes like, "This sucks. Last call is 2 a.m. in Austin. It's last call." Like, yeah, typically it's 2 a.m. He goes, "Do you know what is in New York?" I go, "No, what is in New York?" 4 a.m. I go, "Oh, cool." And then I learned from friends in Vegas that there is no such thing as last call, which that perplexed that scares me more, the idea of not having a last
call. So in Vegas, the reason that exists, as I understand it, is people in Vegas work very weird hours.
No, I understand, and essentially,
they get off of work at 6 a.m.
I fully understand.
And want to go to the bar like we do when we get off at 5.
I fully understand. I understand the why in terms of hours. I get that as a guy that works the night shift.
And it's also Vegas.
Right, I understand that. That just scares me in the idea that they're, you know, and maybe that's what scares me in the idea of thinking of how people tend to drink when there is no, like when you don't have a limit or you don't put a, even this weird artificial limit of this is the time we're going to stop selling it. Like to me that, like to me that's, you know, because again, people can still drink beyond 2 a.m. if they go to their house and have alcohol.
Yeah.
And that's cool because they can take it to their own private areas and not have to be in this like weird mass of people.
Mm-hmm.
But just the idea of here is a weird mass of people, you know, of all shapes, sizes, creeds, and beliefs. And they have no limit on this magical, you know, drink, this magical concoction that makes people do stupid shit if they drink too much of this stuff.
I wouldn't say it makes them, but it does allow stupid shit to happen more frequently.
Right. There's, you know, it's rarely do you hear people say, "Man, I drank all that Diet Coke and then I did something stupid." You rarely hear that. You don't hear someone talk about their weird, crazy night that on their Diet Coke bender.
Yeah.
You don't hear that. That's never comes up in any conversation. It's not, you know, that's not part
no,
of the
No, all those stories start with, and know. Then someone bought a bottle of tequila.
Right. There's always, and then this, and you know, like, it's like, not like, you know, I was drinking a really fine coffee. It's like, no, I was drinking some Four Loko, and that's, you know, like, that's where the craziness happens, is that is the introduction of alcohol. Not because alcohol is going to be this thing. It's just, when you have the ability to say, you know, here is a society that has no, you know, because again, 2 a.m. having that cutoff doesn't mean no one stops drinking. Yeah. People will figure out a way to drink if they want to drink, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. But most sensible people are like, all right, it's 2 in the morning. I got to get home. I got work to do, or I got X, Y, or Z, or just like, I still got to wake up the next morning and deal with this hangover, you know, all the stuff. But if you're in Vegas and it's like, there's no last call, it's 5 in the morning, time to keep drinking. Like, you know, after a certain point, like, there is just this swarming mass of people that had the exact same thought as you, and they may not necessarily have drank. Just, you know, we talk about the whole epic party that you that it may have not been like, oh yeah, because again, you don't hear people when they have those benders. It's never the yeah, I was drinking so much, Jack Daniel, you know, Jack Daniel like Blue Label. I was not drinking. You don't hear the.
It's never Johnny Walker. It's always Vladimir vodka.
Right.
And,
right. It's never like Walker Blue Label. It's never like, oh, I was drinking a really fine, you know, a fine Cabernet, you know, a fine cab. Like you never, like I never hear my parents talk about, you know, they never talk stories like this. But
I got trashed on Moscato and then
right.
I.
You know, it's never like I was drinking a very fine, expensive piece of alcohol. It's always, Yeah, man.
PBR.
It's always something cheap.
Well, I mean, Dragon Con, it's always Dharmas, which are Natty Light or Natty Ice. Yeah. Whatever one's in a white can because it matches the wrappers.
This is going to be a
This is what I will tell you about Dharma Initiative non-alcoholic beverage, is after you've had two or three drinks of something other than it to start you out, it's pretty good. Right. And I've never had it sober, though.
No one
ever. I've never touched it, like, starting from scratch.
No,
it's always a drink of last resort.
Don't get me wrong, there's going to be some fun stories come South by for sure, but it's such a strange thing, and I laugh at it just because of the alcohol stuff, but it's bizarre to me, the idea of having a last call. That was the one thing that was like I could not grasp, and it wasn't because of like I don't understand people drink at weird hours when they have, you know, weird shifts. That makes a whole lot of sense. It was just the idea of like, man,
you could just never stop.
You could just never stop.
You could just live in the bar forever,
right?
Especially if it had okay food, like you could literally live there,
right? And it was this weird,
three meals a day, drinks in between,
and it was just this weird thing of like, man, I don't. You know, because again, I'm not a local to this town, and I've never been to Vegas, but you know, at the time, you know, if I went, I wouldn't be a local to this town. Most people who go to Vegas aren't locals to this town. I can only imagine the locals that live in Vegas and work in Vegas are just fucking fed up with this shit and like stand it because it pays the bills. Like, I would, because it would come to the point where I think I would kill somebody. If I had to like work in Vegas, I might just kill
somebody. Do you follow Mitsula on Twitter? It's basically that. He works
at
a sports book in Vegas.
No, I know this. That's why I was trying to hold back on the friend who it was. Yeah. I didn't want to put him on blast. But
No. I mean, he loves Vegas. Right. And he hates Vegas, but he loves Vegas.
Right.
And I think he would safely admit to all of that. I'm not putting words
in his
mouth.
Well, because that's when he would visit Austin. Like, it was him and his friend. I forgot the guy's name. And I apologize for that, but they're in town. They kind of crashed my place here. Did they crash here? I think they crashed here for. I don't know if they crashed here for a day or not. Regardless, it doesn't matter. We hung out and talked a bit. But just having the conversation with him and asking all these questions, because again, it was wrapping my head around the idea of here is a place. I mean, yes, the joke is Vegas is the adult playground, and in some capacities it's true, but just here is a place where you can do the most debauchery and not have a limit on it.
But the problem is that's not Vegas anymore.
I know.
That's Pahrump.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Pahrump, Nevada is where all the legalized whorehouses are.
Well, that's
and that is where debauchery takes
place. I guess
so. Vegas is just where people drink too much.
Right.
And slobber all over scantily clad cocktail waitresses.
I think that's worse, actually. I think that's worse because at least in like Pahrump, you're being honest.
Yeah, there's no other reason to go there. There's nothing there.
Right. Whereas Vegas is just like, again, it's the idea of like, here is the potential for drinking at 5 a.m. and not looking like a goddamn alcoholic. And that's scary because that's, you know, having that limit in the society and whatnot at least adds as a barrier of like, well, I could drink right now at 5 a.m, but I do not want to look like an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're in Vegas, it's like, well, maybe they'll think I'm a day worker, you know, a night worker, and they won't think I'm an alcoholic, even though I'm a goddamn tourist drinking at 5 a.m, you know, drinking whatever the fuck. Because again, you know, the only way you kind of fade in is that you don't drink the cheap stuff. You're like, you go, you know, if you're drinking at 5 a.m. and you're just off shift, you know, you get a nice glass of whiskey. You drink a beer. You drink something sensible, if you will, because it's the end of your shift and you're not, you know, you still have to work the next day. You still have to get some sleep. This is just you're off work and doing that. You're not like, well, shit, you know that. You know, you're not going at 5 a.m. and buying like, you know, fucking like, you know, Irish Car Bomb or some shit like that. Like, that's not.
Although people probably do.
Right, but I'm saying like, if you're a person off shift, that ain't your. That probably isn't your, like, you know, it's Thursday night. I need to, you know, I'm meeting the bar with some friends, you know, coworkers of mine or other service workers kind of thing. That's probably not what you do. Maybe Friday is Irish Car Bomb night, if you will, because you don't have to work the next day. If you do, then maybe it's, you know, again, you tend the crazier the drink is, the more I think levels or stages or concoctions that you have to add to it. If there's any sort of like theatrics to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's not a typical, like, I'm going to drink tonight night.
If it's a drink designed to be consumed in under 5 seconds.
Yes.
It's probably going to end poorly.
Well, because there's some type of theatrical thing. Like, you don't sip an Irish car bomb.
No, because the milk curdles and it's...
Right.
Yeah,
there's
You have to drink that in 5 seconds.
Right. There's a theatrical...
I don't know if you've ever tried to chug just, like, stout, like Guinness in general.
I'm not a beer drinker at all, but I know it's like, like chewing bread from what I understand.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, I love stout. Stout is my beer of choice. I cannot chug stout. I don't have that in me.
Right, and I don't think it was designed.
No,
when the monks back in, you know,
what an Irish car bomb is, let's take all the things commonly made in Ireland, throw them in a glass together, and then people figured out you had to chug it or else the Baileys gets all curdly and nasty.
Right, again, the idea again, but there's the theatrics of the idea of like dropping the shot glass into the, like if there's any level of a theatrical thing, meaning if there's like lighting it on fire, or it's like it's presented in a weird glass, or it's like it's some type of concoction that has a bright color to it, chances are it's not the drink that you're going to drink every day. Like, you don't go and you know, you don't pull a Garth and get the weird pineapple drink, you know, every time you go to, you know, your local bar. You ask for a whiskey, you ask for, you know, a beer. If you're not like you know, like even something like a White Russian, it's still,
yeah.
You know, there's a level of sophistication to that. It's not something like you know, Scotch on the Rocks. It's something that is a thing that you're not going to just go boom, you know, that.
Yeah.
You know, even like I'll take a tequila shot, start it off like Scotch, you know, you may then level it out with some other type of chaser, if you will, or whatever. And such. We are out of time. We have hit the hour mark.
Have we hit the limit?
We hit the limit a long time ago.
Okay.
Pat, always a pleasure to have you on. You'll probably be on many more.
Probably. I got to catch up with Rick Foster. He passed me and like kept going.
Well, Rick is the
Rick is the new if shit hits the fan, which I used to be.
No, I'll put the you were the original, but Rick Foster is the shit gets done episode. Mm-hmm. If I need a guest, shit gets done. That is my go-to. Like, Rick, I need a guest now, and he's like, fuck it. When we figure, you know, mm-hmm. shit gets done, and everything happens in remotely and everything else. Where can people find you online these days?
At the Swagger on Twitter. And I do a podcast about music. Called,
yeah, talk a little about that if you would.
It's called Record Breakers. It's at 4 Record Breakers on Twitter. Record Breakers. podcast.com, also on Rebelli TV,
PD's
network thing. It's on YouTube. Search for Record Breakers Podcasts and you'll find
us. Chances are
we review albums. It's a lot of music snobbery and Brett hating every record I bring.
Well, it's just a matter of just sort of apparently I'm O for win, because I made Brett listen to music he never likes.
Oh yeah, he never likes anything I bring. He hates it. Well, every single album.
Apparently then I win, because I brought something that he's like, I'm not a hip hop guy, I fucking love this.
Yeah, so, and that happens, and that's the beauty of the podcast is that you both get to discover new things and hear stuff. Like, the whole point was I wanted to hear stuff I never heard before, and we all kind of had that attitude. Like, for example, I don't know when this episode comes out, but South by Southwest is coming up in real time. And one of the bands that I discovered because Petey Rave on the podcast brought it, a band called Love X Stereo from South Korea. They're performing here, and I am – like, super excited to see them because I love them. They make amazing music, and I would have never heard of them if not for somebody putting it in front of me and making me listen to it for a week.
No, for sure. I mean, especially that kind of stuff. But.
I am Sergeant Muffin in the chat, because I can see the chat. I am not Jay Sherman from The Critic. I am even more insufferable.
It's okay. Me, I'm that. Cool. Well, of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitters. If you want to catch previous episodes of our podcast, you can head to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There are find links to the show notes, our Twitter account for the show, which is at 8bitlife podcast, and of course, all the other things. And after you've supported all the things that Swagger does and downloaded stuff and you know, bought any of the albums he suggested so you can listen to them, and you have a little bit of change left over in your wallet, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife and help this podcast become more awesomer, bigger, better, and uncut, or whatever the what is it, the bigger, blacker, uncut? The
bigger, longer, uncut is the South Park movie.
Right, but it's bigger. Was it bigger, blacker was the Chris Rock album?
Probably was. Yeah, possibly.
I think that's what it was.
I feel like that was a Chris Rock special.
Yeah, it was. So that's it for this week. I talked to another geek, something completely and utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.